Welcome to Auroville Radio. Welcome from Nadia. Today I have the pleasure to be in the studio with Stefano, Jorge, Satyajit and Maya. Welcome, guys.
Yo.
So we have invited these three people here to talk about beach cleaning. I've heard that you guys are cleaning the beach regularly. You have been cleaning Shrima Beach for quite a while. I saw you while going there swimming and I got very inspired. So we decided to invite you and to know more about your activity, to know more about what you're doing. So could you please just introduce yourself before we talk about it?
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Maya Apfelbaum. I'm originally from the United States and near the ocean there. And it's such an honor to be here in Auroville during this time and on this radio show to talk about our amazing beach cleanup group. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Satya. And I live in Chinnamudaliyar Chavadi. I'm a local here. And I've been involved with beach cleaning since 3 months.
Good morning. This is Jorge. I've been in Auroville for about 12 years. And anyway, I'm very happy to be here in this program this morning.
So tell me a bit about what's happening in Shrima. What happens weekly? I know that this is being a weekly thing that happens regularly. Do you have a schedule? How many people are you gathering there and what exactly you collect? Yeah, let's share about it, a bit some information about it.
So the main thing that unites us is our WhatsApp group, which consists of about between 50 to 60 people. And we meet twice every week on Wednesday and Saturday at 4 o'clock at Shrima Beach. So this is something regular that has been happening since last 2 or 3 months. And initially, actually, when we collected the rubbish from the beach, we would put it in the bins on the main road because we didn't know what to do with it. We tried to talk to the government, and but as we all know, you know, they were not much helpful. So we thought that we should do something with it, you know, because all the trash that we put in the bins on the ECR, they go into landfill. That's what we know. So there's no recycling being done. So although we are removing it from the beach, so we are, you know, protecting the sea, but also we thought that we have to also protect the land. So that's why we started doing recycling. And we were very lucky to have found Jorge, who is an expert in plastic recycling. And
do you name yourself in a way? Do you have a name or any way to contact you? Like, who are you guys?
Yeah, we do. This is Maya. I'm going to give a little information, and we will give it again at the end of the show, and also it will be on the podcast. So if you don't catch it now, you're okay. But here it is. We're the Beach Cleanup WhatsApp group. You could be added to that. And you can find us on Facebook. So forgive me, I need to put my glasses on. You can't see that on the radio. WhatsApp is, you would maybe contact one of us three if you know us, or you could look for, Facebook is www.facebook.com, of course, and then /groups, then /India Beach Cleanup as one word, India Beach Cleanup with a slash. And the Instagram is @ Zero Waste Beach H, and then there's Instagram.com/zero waste beach. But I just want to say that we're easy to find best by coming to the beach from 4 to 6 on Wednesday or Saturday, and we're live together, or even to Terrasol. I'm going to hand this over to Jorge in a minute. We're at the back of Terrasol, behind the beautiful permaculture farm there. There's a 3D printer, and there's activity going on now to recycle some of the plastics that we pick up at the beach, and that's going on most mornings. So that's another way to find us in person. And we'll repeat the contact online information more clearly at the end of the show. Thank you.
So now you found a way to recycle
some of the material, yeah. And we're working on more and more, but we've got some good things going. Jorge will tell a little about that.
Off you go. Tell us.
Yeah, we have a makerspace, what would be called a makerspace in Terrasol. In the back of the farm, there's a windmill. There we have a little workshop area. And actually, my background is engineering, and 25 years ago, I was recycling plastic in my home country in Ecuador. And so I tried to do a commercial venture, recycling bags, basically, and bottles. I was unsuccessful for 3 years. I was losing money for 3 years, and finally I kind of figured it out. I learned quite a bit during that process, and the company actually is still running in Ecuador. Of course, when I was here in Oroville, I still do work with in rural areas. That's my background, is transferring technology to rural areas. And that was mostly with wind energy and renewable energy, but also manufacturing. And I was visited at the farm maybe 2 months ago. I was introduced to the group that was collecting plastic. And it was, of course, going back in time for me. So essentially, the idea is to collect the plastic, and then you need to classify. Sadly, there's not one single type of plastic. It's all different materials that don't mix together. It's kind of like mixing oil and water. You know, you put them together, but they don't really mix. So you have to classify them. You have to clean them. And there's sometimes you have to wash it. And then you have to sometimes grind it. Yeah, so we're doing it all by hand right now. So we need lots of hands, yeah? The amount of plastic that comes from the beach, we were talking how many kilos you're getting in a day?
About 100 kilos every time.
Yeah. So it's quite a bit of a mixture of like glass and bottles and bags and whatever.
Is it 100 kilos per
week?
Yeah,
because we have a lot of glass bottles. You know?
Uh-huh.
The beach is being used as, you know, to sit and drink, basically. Even while we clean, there are at least 10 groups sitting and drinking beer, or they also eat and they leave everything there. We have talked to them many times, but somehow that responsibility, you know, that thing is lacking in people.
Mm-hmm. So the education obviously is important, but and awareness. But a significant portion of the waste is obviously glass, bottles and stuff. But a lot of the other plastic is also from people dropping things in chapels and things that are actually going from the cities or from the from us, going into the ocean and then coming back to the beach. So you had hundreds of chapels, for example.
Yeah, and a lot of it even comes from other countries, you know, like from parts of Indonesia washing through the currents here.
Yeah, yeah, you can see bottle tops from different countries.
From Indonesia a lot.
That's how you can figure it out.
You can recognize
that. Yeah, it's in different language. But the idea is right now what we're doing is we're preparing to start making some sheets out of mixed plastic. And then from those sheets, making some maybe decorations,
We're not talking about bedroom sheets, bed sheets. We're talking about just like melted plastic sheets right. that we can make things out of.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a movement, a worldwide movement, to actually recycle. There's, you know, in Europe and in different countries, they've been trying to develop machinery to help in this process. I do have experience building machinery. That's my background. So we're slowly building machinery. I already have some machinery, which is 3D printers that can use some of the plastic. So the idea is to recycle what we are getting from the beach. The only issue with beach plastic is it's extremely difficult to recycle. It's much easier to recycle consumer plastic.
Why?
Plastic, when it's left out under the sun, degrades. So there's UV rays are making it weak. That's why an outdoor chair, a plastic chair that you leave outdoors, starts to fade in color. And eventually, if you sit down, it breaks, you know, after a number of years. And it's because the molecules harden. And it's the UV rays that affect. So you're collecting all this plastic that's been floating in the ocean under the sun. And we have great sun. Yeah, and also salt and everything. The environmental impact on the plastic is significant. So what we need to do is reconstitute that plastic a little bit. So we have to do. We cannot really make 100% beach plastic right now into a product that will last a long time. By the way, we want to do things that will last a long time. We don't want to recycle plastic bags to plastic bags. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
So the idea is we will recycle, and we'll also use some of the plastic within Orville to be able to mix it together. Yeah. So we're in this process right now, and we need support also, as always.
Yeah.
There's no funding. I mean, we're just doing it from things we find. And the machinery, I have some of the machinery already, but we do need to build more machinery. And the machinery, the idea is to build machinery that can be used in the village. So there has to be the long-term goal is to develop ways of making or creating something new out of waste. But that this could be done on a distributed basis. Basically, in a small village, you can collect plastic from the area and then transform. So it shouldn't always stay in Oroville. Eventually, whatever we learn here, we want to transfer it to other places. So it would be by a region.
Yeah, I know that this is not just a Srimas thing. It's everywhere,
yeah, exactly.
In any beach,
yeah.
In any
yeah.
shore, anywhere.
So,
and yeah, thinking about you guys... Maybe Satya, would you like to tell me a bit about how this all started? How many people are you guys, and how did you started all this? How this happened to be?
So this happened during the lockdown time. So I remember maybe you also might have seen a lot of videos, and really something new is happening, you know? Like, of course, what has happened, you know, it's almost like a miracle these times when, you know, we could have never imagined that we would be locked down in our houses and there'll be so much fear. And it has a meaning in my lifetime, and I think in most people's lifetime is the only time. So it's a special time for sure. And we feel that there is some cosmic force that is, you know, pushing people to change, basically.
So the lockdown was useful for something.
Very much, yeah. I mean, whether it is fear or whatever, you know, at least we are changing our thinking. And it's a result of that, I would say, this group. And few of us, you know, who... So there is Enrico and Jasmine who had come. So they started this WhatsApp group and also a Facebook account. And, you know, they have been talking to people about how... Because we live on the coast, you know, sea is a very important element of our life, you know. The constant, you know, fresh breeze we get, you know, we are so lucky to have the sea, you know. And all that we give it back is, you know, our trash, which is a very sad thing. So a lot of people were affected when we talked to them, no? Because we all see it when we go to the beach. Everybody sees it. That
I lived in India as a child from 6 to 8, and in Mysore, which is in the next state, Karnataka, at the time, there really wasn't that much trash because plastic bags had not been introduced and things were wrapped in banana leaves or in newspaper from the market, from the grocery store. So some of it, this is this global issue where in almost every culture, people have the throwaway mentality, which who knows what deeper kind of illness this comes from, of sort of lack of respect for the cycles of the earth and for our part in that. But there's also so much movement now worldwide to also address this. So there's on one hand deep despair, and like a fact for you is that out of 100 little baby sea turtles now, every single one of them statistically will be found with some plastic in it, because the plastic is all over in the oceans. And we're depending on fossil fuel, and so we have as a byproduct the petroleum industry and the plastics. But deep down, there's also this longing, I think, in most people to revere the source of life, the ocean, the air, the earth, and to find a way to reconnect with that better. And so ours is like one step of many. There's so many groups all around the world working on this as well. So it's really like both a paradox right now, terrible amount of trash continuing, and a super amount of care and concern going on worldwide. And I could give some more statistics on that, two examples.
I also believe it's not just an Indian thing, and it's not a cultural thing at all, because everywhere you go, there's a extreme amount of plastic being produced and waste. And just go to the ocean, either to the landfill or to the ocean. So, yeah. We are all on the same boat.
I think maybe what I would add is I grew up in the mountains, but whenever I would go to the beach in Ecuador when I was a little kid, there was no plastics. It was really the extent at which we use plastic now has gone up so much, and we need to do it as an individual. We need to change as an individual, because as an individual, you go and buy a bottle. And then you should wash it, and you should put it, hopefully, in a bin that will be recycled. And it has to happen locally.
Yeah,
so the change has to happen within us first, and then as a community. So, of course, in Norville, we do have a group that takes all the waste and deals with it. But now it's time for us to start doing more.
Have you ever been the idea to ask to the working groups here in Norville or in Pondicherry to finance a campaign to prevent it? Because when it was in Barcelona, as an example, in the beach, there are many trash bins and a lot of advices. Most of them are ironical to attract the attention. But you need money to do it, of course, and to organize the work that's behind it.
I think to answer part of that, I have applied to the PCG, I think it's called. There was just a call.
The PCG, there was a call lately, right?
Two weeks ago or so, there was a deadline. So I've applied for funding of some materials so we can build some of the machines that we need. But in reality, what needs to happen is we need to, and this is part of the project, is we need to transform the waste into something valuable that then can be potentially sold and generate an income. Because if we cannot prove that concept of a circular economy, where we can use the waste and produce something of value, then the villages won't be able to recycle. You need to be able to justify it economically in order for this to open up and be more broad. So that's why we're working with, and people would have to come and visit, because it's hard to explain on an audio, but the 3D printing is one of the technologies we're using, but it's usually 3D printers don't print recycled plastic, but we're trying to do that. And so that's kind of the leading edge in this recycling mood. But we're also doing more basic things.
Yeah, I want to add that we've been thinking more about trying to get this to be more integrated into the infrastructure of Oroville and of also Puducherry. And so there have been meetings along those lines, and there's definitely the effort and thought to have some of the beach cleanup work and some of the cleaning of the plastic at Terra Sol become an option as a savvy volunteer, like to have it become an official savvy piece of work.
That's
so that
great.
You can have a more steady supply of regular volunteers, and they get some, in some ways, some status from it. And then we've also, we have some people who show up more often and some people who only show up once in a while, because everybody has their, that is juggling a lot. And one woman who's been showing up a lot who couldn't be here today is Livia. And she's done a lot more work recently to connect with other units in Oroville and other places that can use some of the recycled material, not just the bottle caps. So I'm going to let Satya, I think maybe you could talk about some of these other places. And so many people are really contributing their efforts to this group. And Jasmine and Enrico, and it's too bad they couldn't be here because of the, you know, their choice about the mask. So they're very strong believers in not wearing them. But they, and Freedom, and we work without masks at the beach. But they've put a lot of energy in their own money, buying bags to collect the trash, showing up every week, organizing everybody. And also Anu, who's an architect, who wants to use the bottle glass, the broken bottle glass, as part of building a shack at the beach that will be like an information center and a gathering point to continue this work. And ideally, we'd like to have recycling bins there.
So the recycling we are doing at the moment is most of the plastic we take to Terra Sol. And there we are have been, you know, classifying them by the material. Like there are 7 types of plastics, basically. And also we're classifying them by color. So then we, the product we make, we know we can also have many colors. But we are working on it, and we are collecting also ropes and the fishing nets, you know, they are a big danger.
Yeah. Made of plastic, too. Yeah.
It is also made of plastic, which lasts forever. And somehow it seems that they are even down deep in the ocean, and they really are really harmful for the sea life.
Yeah.
And so fishing nets also, we are processing. So we are separating them, cleaning them, washing them, and also chopping them. And then we also have light fish in Oralek, which is helping us with glass bottles. So all the glass bottles we take to them. I think they make lampshades with them. And we have well paper, which is also, which is taking styrofoam and paper and broken glass also. Sorry, broken glass is being taken by the Eco Service.
And light fishes too, I think, right now?
No, they only take the full bottles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we're still.
And Anu also
too.
Is taking.
Yeah, yeah.
She's an architect and she uses it.
I mentioned her.
Yeah.
That, I think it's amazing that you found someone, different people who could take all this stuff and upcycle and recycle. This is extremely valuable.
It is. And we have the beautiful image that Livia put together. So we can also have that maybe added to the podcast.
Of course.
Later. It's really beautiful.
The text.
Yeah,
and
they already have it.
Yeah. Oh, you have it already.
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking about inspirations, I'd like to know from each of you, what's the reason? What's the, why do you show up every week on
I'd
the
like
beach?
I'd like to answer first. I was very lucky as a child. By the time I was about 2 months old, my mother and father and sisters went and lived right by the ocean for the summer in a wild, wild place. And I sort of grew up drinking saltwater breast milk and just fell in love with the ocean. Like, it's so much like my sister, my brother, my father, my mother, the ocean is very important to me. And then as an undergraduate, I studied a lot of environmental science and environmental advocacy and environmental law. And I've been doing different sorts of environmental conservation and education most of my adult life. So when I went to the beaches here in January, it actually made me depressed to see how polluted both the ocean itself seemed and the land, the beach, with trash and sort of a sense of disregard. But I could also feel the water felt dirty to me. And so I was really happy when I found out a lot of other people were feeling bad about this and doing something about it too. And so in a nutshell, even though that's kind of a big synopsis of a lot more that's happened in my life, like I used to work in Boston in the Boston Harbor doing massive cleanups with youth, inner city youth. But anyway, I just wanted to join this energy, and it's given me pleasure and fun and some challenges. And I wanted to share that as an artist, I'm working on making two masks, not COVID-19 masks, but like shamanic, different kind of mask that will be expressing a little bit about the ocean as a sad, polluted ocean and a powerful, free, happy, clean ocean. The masks will express this. And I'm using some of the trash that we've picked up from the beach as like the ropes and the fishing net as like the hair of the mask. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with people in some form of beach theater or ritual.
And Satya?
Near my house, there was a group of women who started a campaign to clean a canyon. So I was actually, my wife was part of it, and like she sort of initiated it also. Mm-hmm. She and her friend, Bidisha. They were going around and collecting signatures from people who, you know, because government was dumping trash in our canyon near my house. So it started by the women, but I saw that people were not supporting them at all. You know, that's when I got into it. And, you know, I said, wow, you know, it's such a wonderful thing. You know, three young women have come together to do something for their area and have getting no support. So then I became part of the group, and, you know, and then it just... Then, of course, there were men, women all joined in. But it was a very feminine effort for me, that inspired me. And I live in an area which is near to an ancient Kali temple. So the Shakti, and a lot of Shakti nursery of Auroville is also very close. So there's another community called Shakti Garden. So it's all about women power, which is my inspiration.
Beautiful.
What's your inspiration,
Jorge? What really strikes me is that the work that I've been doing has always been supported by the youth of Auroville. I've been working for about 8 years, and it's all community work, and it's all with volunteers. And the people that come, some of them are engineers, some are artists, a mixture of people. But what I can see is that the next generation is the one really active and really participative, and they're coming to help without, you know, asking for anything other than like being able to serve. So that's very inspirational to me, and I see that the group, when I was in contact with the group that's picking the garbage from the beaches, this is the same spirit. There's a lot of beautiful energy involved in this. So it's when you ask for a calling, it's like you just have to see that at work, is when people are, you get inspired easily by the work that's being done. And my other side, my more rational side, is as an engineer, I'm challenged by the fact that we need to solve this issue with waste. So I find it it's a challenge, definitely, because we have to deal with a complicated set of factors with the plastic, but everything is possible. So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
There is a last message that you want to throw to the audience,
yeah. Yes. And everyone.
So
you?
Yes. No. So as we all believe in it, and that without education, this sort of work is very difficult to do. We can keep cleaning the beach for, I think, another 10, 15 years, and it'll keep on coming back because, you know, sea keeps on rejecting it. And so education is, we have only started some education in the villages, but because of this corona thing, we are not being able to really go into the villages. But the good thing is in our group, there are a lot of youngsters, young local people who have joined in. From the villages who are part of our group, and they are learning with us, and so through them, so that's a very, you know, it's a big hope for me to have these people, and I'm sure we'll be able to do a lot, but we need support from everybody, your technical support, any sort of support you can give us, because we are also learning, and thank you.
And I'll just repeat that I ditto to what Satya just said. It's really lovely to see some of the young men and women from the Puducherry University and from surrounding villages, and to see the young men over at the 3D printer at Terra Sol and the makerspace. It's lovely. I'll just repeat, though, the Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups/ India Beach Cleanup, and for Instagram, @ZeroWasteBeach, so that hopefully those of you listening or finding this on a podcast can join us. And we really want to thank you at Oroville Radio for taking interest in this, because it's just such a powerful time in this new movement, but it's got ancient roots and Shakti roots, and we hope it will sustain and grow. Thank you.
Maybe just a final note is I would like to thank everybody for all their efforts, and I think, as I said, the youth of Oroville, the youth of the bioregion, would be the driving force really behind us, and they are already. And each one of us can do something, so we separate our plastic, we clean our plastic, and then we put it separately, you know, at the bin. So this is what we have to work on to make it easier to recycle. Thank you.
And you were going to mention, I think, or one of us, that there will be a future, probably another interview.
Yeah, we are happy to have more interviews with you guys and speak about this subject more and more until everyone knows about it, because it's so relevant.
Yeah, because we are also, you know, we are looking for those people, and they are probably looking for us. So your medium is really, you know, very helpful for us.
So please come and join the Beach Cleanup group every Wednesday and Friday from 4... So not Saturday. Friday. Ah, every Wednesday and Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you so much. See you
thank
on the
you,
beach.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You very much.
Thank you.